Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. And today's guest is Doug Moore. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Hey, everybody. Rick Fox here. I just want to do a quick intro for today's podcast. There's going to be some great information from Doug Moore, who is just chock full of great stuff for you to learn. I wanted to do an intro because I want to let everybody know that next week, because of July 4th holiday, we are going to be dropping the episode on Wednesday. So it'll be available for you on Wednesday. Don't forget to subscribe. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We've already got so much great feedback. And again, don't forget to let us know if there are people that you think should be on with us. Without any further ado, here's me and Doug Moore. Welcome back to another episode of the Vertafore Insurance Podcast. I am the host, Rick Fox. Today's episode is with Doug Moore, Vice President, Industry Relations and Partnerships at Vertafore. Also, someone who I count as a friend and someone I count as one of the most knowledgeable people in the industry that I know. So I'm excited to have Doug. You should be excited to listen to Doug. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. I'm really glad to be here and looking forward to our conversation.
Let's start, Doug. For those, I'm certain that almost everybody listening knows you and knows, has heard you at a show or bumped into you or read something that you wrote. But just for the sake of, you know, setting the table for our conversation, talk to me about how you got here. What, you know, what your journey has been. I know you started outside of insurance. Now you've been in insurance, insurtech, for a long time. So just talk to me about how you got where you are today.
Yeah. So I've been in software technology for my entire career. So I started my career back in 1984 and came out of college as a systems engineer, a very technical programmer, systems engineer type resource, working with operating systems. And
UC Irvine?
I went to UC Irvine, go Anteaters. but I went to work for a mini computer company, MAI Basic 4, 1984. We built hardware and operating systems from the ground up. And it was a really interesting experience. I was first line of defense. The developers would write the operating system and my team would try to break it. So my first job out of college was trying to break software. It was really fun.
That sounds fun.
But working with a machine all day, 8 hours a day, just got boring for me. And I had to get out closer to the customer. So at the first opportunity, I looked for a chance to go work with our customers. And my first end user experience was working with pharmacists, which was quite interesting. So it was the first exposure to actually get to see our software hardware out in the real world and providing value to businesses. And from that point forward, that was about 1986, I was hooked. And so from that point, I have been working with customers to try to solve business problems with technology my entire career. And I've got to work with a lot of great industries, mostly manufacturing, distribution, building products, professional services. And about 9.5 years ago, maybe a little more, I got a call from a recruiter from this software company that I'd never heard of up in Seattle, Washington, Vertafore. And they were looking to fill a position to run their solution engineering team, solution consulting team. And I was at SAP at the time in a very good position, great career path. But what was really interesting to me was, number one, a segment of the market I didn't realize was there. Technology for the independent agent to run their business.
Yep.
The policy, managing policy holders and insureds and the billing and accounting aspects, which I had experience with, but in a different industry. But what was really interesting to me was the opportunity at the Vertafore to be able to take our solutions to the next level. And fast forward 9.5 years later, I had a great run in the as the vice president of solution consulting, and was looking for some new challenges within Vertafore. So my boss at the time, BJ Shaknowski, the chief revenue officer.
Yeah, we know BJ.
You've had him on the podcast. Asked me about what my career aspirations were, and the opportunity arose to take over a position running our industry relations and partnerships, and it really intrigued me. And I had been a study of the industry, trying to understand the challenges and the pressures that the independent agents have in today's market. So I felt, and I talked on a number of panels, speaking about how technology can positively affect the independent agent to improve their business operations. And so it was a perfect fit. So here I am, been in the position for a little over a year now and just loving every day of it.
Well, and Doug, you and I worked together at Vertafore, my first stint at Vertafore, and stayed friends after I left. And what was great for me and why I think this you're spot on that it's the perfect fit is I remember you reaching out to me when you were going to move into this position and how excited you were, because everything you just said to me speaks to what you want to do. Like as a person, knowing you, knowing how much you love to help people. I think on the solution consultant side, you had this great opportunity to help an agency and then help another agency. And why I think this fit is so good and why it's so great for the industry is now you get to help everyone at the same time. So I'm excited that you're in this role. Obviously, I'm excited to be working with you again. And I'm really excited that we get to kind of dig into that brain of yours and talk about what's going on in the industry. So talk to me you've been out there obviously for years, but now in a different capacity. Let's just talk about the industry as a whole. You know, talk about the direction that the industry's going, trends, things you're seeing, things that people should be aware of as they're listening.
Yeah, it is really an exciting time to be in this industry and in this business, because we are transforming the way that we do business as independent agents. There is a wealth of new technology available to us. But I think if we just look at the business model, most insurance independent insurance agents out there, they're small business owners.
Right.
It is motherhood and apple pie. It is what our country was built on, is the entrepreneurial spirit of being able to go out there and start your own business and be successful as a business person in today's world, whether you're servicing a small region of the country, a specific city or town or municipality, or whether you are servicing across the entire United States. And the opportunities that are there for the independent agents today are to not necessarily have to go it alone. And I think what we're seeing in most industry trends is the opportunity to go align your business with other like-minded business owners to get a better feel and a better reach for your business, both to your policyholders, but yep, also to the carriers that you have the appointments and the relationships with. And there's a number of different organizations that are helping to drive this and to drive the economy of scale to be able to go out there and get aligned with those like-minded business owners that you see have alignment with your vision on where you want to take your business. So it's not just necessarily you doing business on your own, but going out there and joining a group or affiliation, association, networks. There's a number of different names for them. We've had the state associations like IAABA, the Big A, PIA, there's SIAA. There's a number of different organizations that have been doing this for a long time. But I think what we've seen over the last few years is a trend for the small business owners, small independent agents to align themselves with a dozen, 24, 200 like-minded agencies to be part of that larger network or group or affiliation. I think that's really exciting because it means that you're not just out there on your own. Like I said, you're able to align yourselves to get more influence with the providers of the products that you're selling to your policyholders.
Well, and it's so exciting for me. I left a really good company to come back to Vertafore to be a part of that, because I agree with you 100%. I think that as the world changes, and anybody who's listened to me talk ever has always heard me talk about the change in the consumer, and that's driving a lot of this change. And that economy of scale, that one versus the world versus you and your grouping, your, you know, your gang against the world, just it just changes your ability to be successful. It changes your knowledge base, your buying power, your just your clout, right? Does that make sense?
Totally. And let's not exclude that the independent business owner that doesn't see a benefit of joining such an organization. That I might, you know, I would say that if you're in that group where, you know, you're in, you know, Main Street USA, you service, you know, certain book of business for your policyholders, you're providing them with the safety and security that their assets are covered properly through the, you know, whatever insurance policy they right. need, whether it be personal, commercial, benefits, that it doesn't mean that you have to join these organizations. But what you can do is you can look to what they're doing and apply that to your own business. And let me just use one simple example. And it's going to be a technology example because I love technology. But if you're looking at how the big players in our business are approaching their policyholders, they're changing the customer experience, the user experience that your policyholders have with your agency. And it's much more than just having a really nice looking website. It's being able to interact with my agent in a digital fashion. And what that means is that I'll use a personal example, and it drove a decision for me to change that the independent agent I did business with. I went to go buy a new car. Well, it's a new truck. I love trucks. So I was buying a new truck about 4 years ago.
You got to put your motorcycle in something, right?
I gotta have something to haul the bikes. And so, you know, I contacted. I obviously had to show proof of insurance to sell my other vehicle, and you know, change my policy. I had to do that through fax. I had to have the.
You mean facsimile?
This machine that I haven't seen for about 10 years. The agent had to fax something over to the auto dealership, and at that point, because I know, right? You can get a. Auto ID card on a website, on a right. customer portal. So I made a conscious decision to align myself to an agent where if that happened again, I could just go right online, get my auto ID card and present it to auto dealership. Hopefully I don't have to present it to the Washington State Patrol.
But, right.
You know, being able to access information digitally about my policy is extremely important to me. And it is extremely important to the majority of our policyholders out there, especially if you look at the younger millennials and, you know, Gen Zs, they don't do anything not on their phone. So if you can't access your policy digitally with your policyholders and expose that information electronically, then you're going to get left behind. Just flat out, you're going to get left behind, and you're leaving that business open for somebody else taking it away from you that has those additional services.
Well,
so
I think
that's just one thing that if you're a small business owner and you're not thinking about that, you should be thinking about how you interact with your policyholder in the way that they want to interact with you.
Yeah, you need to meet them where they are. And to your point, not even just the younger generation. My mom is texting and doing stuff on her phone all day long. She's in her 70s. And I think it becomes part of that. What you said was you're going to be left behind. I think a lot of agency principals kind of go, you know what, we're doing pretty well. We're fine. Like they hear these little tidbits of stuff that either they're hearing on a podcast or they heard at a show. And you really need to start embracing that and being part of the generation that is not standing still. Inertia will kill any business in any industry. But if you look at a business like an independent agent, you know, your agent lost you simply because of the way they transacted business or the way that it appeared to you that they did business. They probably did the same job, had the same coverages, but it's that moving forward, using technology to meet consumers where they are today, which is the piece that if you're not all over that, you are definitely starting to lose. You will start to lose momentum, and it'll be a tougher hill to climb back up after you've stopped.
Totally. Let me talk about one other aspect that's going on, because you know this is fresh in my mind. I just came back from a conference in Austin, Texas, called Dig In. It really is it's a carrier focused conference, so it's really geared towards the companies and their technology arms. A lot of the carriers that support the independent agent, they have these little centers of InsurTech, and I'll call them a think tank. So they're dabbling and playing with different technology. And I don't need to name the big players, but everybody knows who they are. And they're the ones that focus on the independent agent, not going direct to consumer.
Right.
But they're working on technology internally. And many of these companies are going through their own internal transformation. They have back-end systems that have been in place for 25, 30 years, maybe even longer. And many of them are going through transformations of their back-end and back-office systems to upgrade to current technology, which gives them the ability to innovate at a much quicker pace than they could with their older technology.
Well, and Doug, let me jump in there, because I think part of the what you're saying there is the companies that are doing it's not easy. It's really hard sometimes to make those transitions. Think about a database at a large carrier and trying to make changes to the way things have been done for the last 25, 30 years. You know, put that same thought into the way it is at an agency when they're looking at making changes. Some of these changes are not easy, but man, the benefits of going through that pain and going through that change, you know, if you're not willing to change, then be willing to stop growing. Go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. But some of the really cool things that the carriers are doing are leveraging artificial intelligence and machine learning, leveraging access to smart devices, and you know what we like to refer to as the Internet of Things, whether it's a monitor that's in a vehicle to be able to measure driving behavior to lower premiums, or I think some of the technology that's not getting as much attention is some of the smart home sensors that are going in, so that a carrier company could be more proactive and not have to. And it's referred to as claims avoidance. Putting a sensor on a water heater so that it can tell the point where the water heater may fail. So it's cheaper for the company to actually replace the water heater than to pay for the claim. So
way cheaper.
So thinking of claims avoidance, things like that, and then the use of new technology that's emerged just in the last few years, like drones, being able to have a drone go out there and assess a natural disaster site ahead of boots on the ground to be able to get an initial assessment on how big that claim is going to be for, you know, whether it be a tornado or a hurricane, flood damage, landslide. The use of some of this technology that's applying to carriers' business today is some of the things that an independent agent could be looking at.
100%.
How they could apply this, or at least be a student of what's going on in our industry, because this is transforming the way that we deal with how to assess a risk, how to write claims on a risk, how to, you know, continue to make sure that we're covering all the risks for our policyholders effectively. And each independent agent listening on the phone can talk to your carrier marketing rep, go on their website, look at what the companies who you are partnered with are doing from their technology perspective. So at least you know what's going on in the industry, because these are benefits that our policyholders will be able to take advantage of, not in the long term. This is happening today in the short term.
And when we look at this industry always, and you and I have been in it long enough to feel comfortable saying things like, you know, we're antiquated, we're slow to change, things like that. What you just said is something that I want to just spend a quick moment on about the carrier and the interaction between the agency and the carrier. you know, if you do some research and you find that a few of your carriers are doing X or one of your carriers is doing Y, and that's something that makes your job easier or makes you a better agency, then you should be talking to all of your carriers. Most of the really good carriers are all moving in the right directions. The things Doug talked about, carriers, they get it. They know that change is imminent, but the maybe the tipping point or the urgency is ratcheted way up when their agencies are telling them again and again, hey, we need to be able to do this, or we need to be able to see this, or this doesn't work for us. So having that relationship with your carriers, I'm not saying you're holding their feet to the fire. You're actually helping them innovate on their side by giving them the feet on the street view of what needs to be working and changing at the agency level, which can help your carriers build deeper relationships. And then in turn, if all of that works, make your agency more efficient. You agree with that, Doug?
Totally. Okay. Totally agree with that.
All right, let me kind of just tilt the conversation. I want to stay on the industry, but I want to use the catch word that everybody says, get your take on it, and then have you kind of talk to me about it. The word is insurtech. What does that mean to you? It means so many things to so many people, but let's just really dig into, I mean, of everybody that I talk to, you're out and about talking to other insurance technology companies, decision makers, innovators, people that are out in the marketplace, like trying to make change. Talk to me about what insurtech means to you, what it should mean to our listeners, and what that's gonna, how that's affecting the way that anyone in this industry is, it should be approaching their day to day.
Yeah, so insurtech is somewhat of a new term, but it's not a new term. And let me explain that. So if you break it down, insurtech is just insurance technology, which is technology that's provided to the different players in the insurance distribution chain to be able to improve and automate their business to become more efficient. And ultimately, every agency, every carrier has two primary goals. They want to write more business and they want to retain the business they have. It's as simple as that. So all the technology out there is enabling independent agents to be able to do one of two things: go out there and write more business or retain existing business. And we Vertifor provides a number of different solutions to do just that. But when we look at the insurtech, and I'm going to call it the wave, it had a different name.
Of course, you'd use the word wave because of your surfing background. So yeah, go ahead. I got
to throw that one in there too. But the insurtech wave is really just a terminology that is continuing from some previous terminology from 7 years ago, 8 years ago. But what is happening in our industry is the innovation and the acceleration of that innovation. Once the investment started happening from outside of our industry, and I'll just educate the audience if you don't already know it, but starting about 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, there was a huge influx of outside investment into technology solutions for the insurance industry, carrier and independent agents. And what that meant was a number of new innovative solutions entering into the market to try to solve specific business problems.
Right.
And those problems could be related to connecting up your phone system to your agency management system so that when somebody calls in to the agency, it links you to their policies and, you know, maybe certain information about that particular policyholder, birth dates coming up, you know, so that you can have a more personalized experience with the policyholder. It could be, you know, related to approaching your market and your sales efforts on the new business side with more digital automation, drip marketing campaigns, improving your, you know, touch points during the renewal process. So, you know, there's technology out there to solve that problem. There's a number of new pieces of technology that have evolved in the last 2 or 3 years that are attacking the commercial lines submission space. So
right.
how to automate and bring the insured into the picture to be able to collect and collect data and information once, minimizing or eliminating duplicate data entry when you're preparing the, you know, the submission for a piece of commercial business.
And well, Doug, let me jump in here because I just want to make sure that our listeners are dialed in on this part, because, you know, you mentioned the phone interaction and being able to pick up the phone and say, "Hello, Bill, how are you? It looks like you had a birthday yesterday," like that personal thing. If your agency isn't doing that, there's something you can work on. The second thing was automating marketing, email, drip campaigns, things like that. If you're not doing that right now, if you're not touching your customer throughout their year, throughout their journey with your agency, that's something you should be doing. To what you just said about the way commercial is handled, everyone listening, really listen and write something down that you can take away from this, because these are all things that other agencies are doing, and you're going to start feeling that, the burden of that, if you're not. Go on, Doug.
Yeah, and let me just mention two other pieces of technology that are designed to make the independent agent work better with your policyholders. One is electronic payment. So I still know many agents that collect paper checks. You should be able to enable via, you know, your website an insured to get on and pay a bill, an agency bill, either by credit card or an ACH payment. Again, just automating a process. And that also helps provide a back-end efficiency, because you're not having to process that cash and deposit that cash in the bank manually. You're doing it electronically.
And frankly, most people just, I mean, I don't even know where my checkbook is. I'm going to Venmo you the money or pay, you know, there's so many different ways. If you just like that, that seems like a no-brainer. And if you're not out there listening in the podcast sphere, another great opportunity to make your agency more efficient.
Yeah. And the last one I'll just talk about is electronic signature of, you know, an application, you know, document that needs a wet signature, just making that an electronic transaction with full audit trail. And, you know, the listeners on the phone might be arguing, go, well, that's not InsurTech, because, you know, they aren't at that, you know, the big conferences that happen, you know, once or twice a year that are labeled InsurTech. I would argue that every one of those pieces of technology that I just discussed are InsurTech players that can help the independent agent improve their business operations and help you write more business and retain the business you have.
And that's the key. Like, as an ex-agency owner, I would always say, the things that kept me up at night, if I could pick the three things, number one was, how do I keep the business I already have? Two is, how do I write new business? And three is, how do I keep my staff, you know, sane and even happy? And everything you just mentioned, along with others, are things that are becoming mandatory. If you want to be that one of those agencies that's, you know, crushing it, moving forward. We had a huge year. All of those things help, those three things that I mentioned. And I think, Doug, having been out in the, you know, I know how much you're on the road, because we talk about it. I mean, you're getting this kind of information. Not only are you getting the ideas and the concepts, but then you're getting constant validation of how important that is to the agencies that are applying it, right?
Yeah. And to the third point you made, Rick, about, you know, keeping your internal staff happy and not frustrated, the big challenge that we're seeing out there, and it's one that, you know, I think a number of technology vendors out there are trying to solve, is, so you could put up an electronic payment portal, and you could allow to your insurance to pay a policy, but many times then your staff actually has to go process that cash receipt transaction on that agency bill back in your agency management system. So one of the things that we're working on at Vertifor is providing an open architecture to be able to plug in certain solutions into our portfolio, like an electronic payment provider. And instead of manually having to do that, it seamlessly comes back. Well, number one, the information comes out of the management system onto the electronic payment portal. So you can see the invoices. Insured logs in, puts in an identifier. They see the open invoices. They click that they want to pay this invoice. Maybe there's a credit. I want to apply a credit to the invoice. And then when they choose the method of payment, then that comes in and automatically processes a cash receipt train. Well, creates the cash receipt transaction, which then gets processed back on the agency management system, minimizing duplicate data entry. Now, I'm going to say,
talk about making a staff happy. There you go. Minimizing duplicate data entry is probably number one on that list.
So I'm going to, this is the only three letter acronym I'm going to use today. but it's every, I think there's a term that many people didn't even know what it was 5 years ago, but you, many of our listeners have heard the term API, right? API, it's application programming interface is what that stands for, if you're curious. But all that is automating two pieces of software that are based on different technology through most commonly a web service integration that allows you to move data and business validation, business rule validation between two pieces of disparate software.
So here would be a good like layperson example. I go to eBay and I buy something on eBay and I instantly get a pop-up from PayPal, and PayPal and eBay are APIing in the background to make that a seamless transaction. Is that a good example?
That's a great example.
Thanks.
And you could use that same example with an agency bill invoice. That's how the agency management system vendors like Vertafore are integrating our management systems with the different payment portals out there.
Well, and I think this is a good segue into, and I want to give you your props because I knew this was going to happen when you took this position, but you have exceeded even my expectations and I think the expectations of the industry with your relentless passion for the new Vertafore Orange Partner Program. And this is not a pitch for that program, although I'm certain that at the end here, you'll get people hitting you up because they want to be part of it. But that's mainly because of the idea behind it, the reasoning that it makes so much sense, and kind of how that can help. A lot of the things we've been talking about, and now that you've gotten to API, because I want you to dig into that a little more, but the Orange Partner Program is the, I guess, the conduit to those great interactions between technologies. And Doug, you've done such a great job of spearheading that and making that real. And I think what it's doing is it's opening everyone's eyes to, wow, so I don't have to find one company, i.e. a Vertafore or an Applied or EasyLink. I don't have to, Vertafore, use us as an example. We don't have to be the best at everything. But if we have open architecture so that we can go partner or, you know, partner in your case in the program or even not in the program with vendors that are best of breed in whatever they do, talk about running an agency better. I mean, that's just that's the grand slam, right?
Yeah. And we, you know, we realize that there are a number of pieces of technology that the independent agent might take advantage of. And we want to be able to enable those capabilities to work in conjunction with our core systems. And that's really what the Orange Partner Program is all about, is enabling those best in class solutions that we have no desire or design to develop in-house, and to partner with those organizations to provide a better customer experience for our joint customers.
And anything in life, if you like, I mean, how big of a company is eBay? And eBay decided, well, we don't need to create our own money sourcing. Let's just partner with PayPal. I mean, it's just that simple, right? I mean, it's those kind of things where you find best of breed, whatever you want to do. I think that like, so you gave examples earlier. So let's kind of go back through things that like if I'm an agency principal, I'm a commercial lines manager, I'm a carrier level employee, And I just want something to get better. Like let's kind of dig into, and we don't have to use vendor names, but you mentioned a few things earlier. In fact, I think you mentioned five things, but let's just dig into a couple of them. Like, why would I X? And what I always say when I'm speaking, either when I'm, you know, giving a presentation, speaking engagement, this podcast, it's always like, there's so much information that you gather that sometimes it's overwhelming, but let's find a few little things that maybe start to change the way we do business tomorrow. Talk to me about what, like if I was an agency owner and I had that look on my face, like, I don't know what to do. Give me a few Doug Moore trinkets that are, you know, like, hey, you know, here's a quick way. Like you mentioned, electronic payment, like things like that, that are just, I could solve that tomorrow and it changes this part of my agency.
Well, again, I'm just going to take it to my own, you know, how I do business with
perfect,
you know, Doug Moore Incorporated.
Yeah. Yep.
And how
you're
I
the
interact.
CEO of Doug yeah. Moore Incorporated, or is your Doug wife Moore. The CEO yeah. of the, I'm not.
Well, she's the COO, but she actually runs things. but you know, when I do something in a different industry, I then look to my insurance knowledge. And why aren't we doing that in the insurance industry?
Right. So, good.
You know, and it, you know, the easy one is everybody that's done a real estate transaction in the last 10 years has used a piece of electronic signature technology. And we're just now starting to see greater adoption of that technology within the insurance space. And there is a lot more opportunity there for adoption. I call it table stakes, right? So our customers, our policyholders want to do business with us in a certain way. And that is really table stakes. So look to how you interact with other service providers, whether it be real estate, legal, online providers like eBay, electronic payment, but how are you as a consumer in other industries digitally processing information? You know, banking is another great example, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when was the last time you walked into a bank, an actual physical location, and did a transaction?
Do they still have those?
Yeah, they do. And it's, okay. You know, I use them when I'm going usually to buy a new motorcycle and I need a bunch of cash that I've got to, you know, give somebody. I have to go into the bank to get a large amount of cash.
Okay.
There's no other way to do it. I can only get so much money out of the ATM in continuous days.
Right.
It doesn't work, right? So yeah, I do deal with the bank, you know, once every 3 years when I buy a new toy. But other than that, I mean, I have all my online investments electronically managed. I don't deal with a person for the most part. Stock trade, everything is done electronically. So as an independent agent, you should be thinking about how I can do business in more ways electronically with my policyholders to make their life easier, right? Great example. One of the worst things can happen to a policyholder with an auto policy through your agency is they have that accident and now they have to file a claim.
Yep.
How can you make it easier when that event happens in their life, which is very stressful? It typically there's high emotions. What can you do to make their life easier when they deal with that life event? And it could be as simple as, you know, I have a mobile app that I provide my insured and I can take a picture of the damage. I can take a picture of the other vehicle's license plate. I denote the GPS locations and that all gets stored on the initial claim that gets filed with the agency.
So, well, think about that from like you said, that's why we do what we do, is to protect people in that time of need. And that stress, that adrenaline that's just pumping through your body at the time of an accident or a claim, and you've just resolved one of those things on the spot, just right there, taking away some of that. I mean, that's becoming, again, to your point, that's becoming table stakes, right?
Yeah. So just looking at how you're interacting digitally with other vendors and solution providers out there, and then put yourself in your policyholder's shoes and how do they want to deal with you, and think about how you can implement certain pieces of technology to make that make that process run smoother, better for the customer. Because we're all here for our customers. Vertafore is here for our customers. You're here for your customers. And we aren't in business if we don't have customers. And ultimately, that has to be first and foremost at the front of our brains on how we operate on a day-to-day business.
And I think I want to put a bow on this, Doug. The information has been incredible. I'm jotting down notes. Every time we talk, I learn something. I count myself as fairly knowledgeable about the insurance industry, and I still learn something from you every time we talk. So it's been really great. I want to end it the way I end every one of these podcasts. I'm going to record the next segment and drop in a time capsule and bury it. And it might get dug up next week. It might be a year. But what is Doug Moore's one big piece of advice for the industry?
Yeah, and this is going to be for the independent agents out there, is put together a plan. Think about for the next 6 months, 12 months, 18, 24, how do you want to implement new technology in your business to improve the customer experience? Write it down. Put it on your whiteboard. Put it on the wall of your business. But what I find is if you write something down, it's more meaningful and you're going to hold yourself accountable to it. So, and put some thought process into it, but write those goals down. I want to implement technology X by the end of 2019. I want to implement technology Y by the end of 2020, and then track and measure your attainment of that particular goal.
That's great, Doug. And the only addition I would add to that won't be on your recording, but for people listening, is in your plan, write why do I want to implement technology X by the end of 2019? Because it's going to do this. And if that why doesn't have one of two things in it, either one is it's going to make my customer experience better for all of my clients, or it's going to make the way my agency runs, which makes my staff's job easier and more efficient. If it doesn't have that in your why, make sure you have that in your why. So, Doug, again, thank you so much. It's been great having you. For everybody out there listening, I'm getting a lot of great feedback on this. It's rfox@vertafore.com. Send me suggestions, people you think we would get on, things you need to learn. That I might be able to help you with. You can find Doug on LinkedIn. And Doug, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and let me just give everybody out there my email address.
Yes,
as well.
Please.
It's DMOHR, DMOHR@vertafore.com. If you see some new technology out there that you think the Vertafore should be looking at or thinking about, please shoot it my way. We're always looking for new opportunities out there to build partnerships within the Orange Partner Program.
Doug, I'm so glad you found time today to not be on your motorcycle or be out on the waves and spend a few minutes with us here and grace us with your presence.
Thanks, Rick. Really happy to be here.
All right. We'll see you soon. Thanks, everybody. Hey, thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. That was a great episode with Doug Moore. I just wanted to remind everyone once again that July 3rd, next Wednesday, will be the next episode because of the holiday. We'll be dropping the next week's episode with ePay Policies co-founders, Millen and Todd. Great guys, great information, a must listen. Thanks everybody again for listening. July 3rd next week, otherwise every Thursday. I know I've already said it, but go subscribe so you get all the information you need. And if I don't hear from you, then happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertafore.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us @vertafore.